According to research from the University of Illinois, 52% of black girls sampled in college and high school in the Midwest have experienced sexual coercion. That often means they've been verbally or physically pressured into unwanted sexual activity. And last year, African Americans were the second largest group of people to report being victims of a sexual offense in Wisconsin, with more than 800 cases, according to the State Department of Justice. Our next guest says there are ways to stop that. Crystal Carter is a clinical assistant professor and field liaison in social work at UW-Milwaukee. Crystal, thanks for joining us.
No, thank you. Thank you.
You've worked directly with trauma survivors in Milwaukee. What have those experiences shown you about the problem of sexual assault and sexual coercion among black women?
Well, that a lot of women are not believed, and often it appears to be victim shaming in regards to whether it's how they dressed or what they said or some kind of way that they were enticing the person and just not being believed at all by whether it's family members or authorities. And so oftentimes they just, when they come to counseling, is when those disclosures happen. And the criminal justice system possibly not even convicting someone, but just not feeling believed and not feeling heard, which is one reason why, as I stated in the article, the Me Too movement was established for black and brown girls who felt that their voices weren't being heard because of so many in our community who feel that way and go so long not expressing themselves and telling anyone because they feel like they're not going to be believed.
And I said women. This tragically is a problem for black girls from a very young age. Can you talk about that part of the problem?
And so black girls who are coming of age, if you will, may have experienced sexual abuse by someone that they know, which happens often, whether it's a boyfriend or a family member. Also, based off of their, you know, where they may live, it may be situations where they're kind of lured in, and that could be someone that is, you know, at the school. It could be someone who is, again, just in the community that can lure them in to a situation and then make verbal or physical threats to harm them or others, family members, and abuse them that way. And a lot of times, often it could be in situations where they're not even aware, particularly if it's like, say, a teenage girl and this is an adult male, and they may see that as a relationship when that is, of course, not a relationship, but it is, you know, abuse and it's not legal. And other people may be aware of that and not say anything as well. And so girls end up being in situations where they're being assaulted and they are being sexually harassed just based off of the fact that, you know, either they don't see it that way because of how the relationship started, or again, it's someone that they know and they do not report it because they feel like they're not going to be believed, or they do report it and nothing is done.
You wrote in a recent piece in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that the devaluing of black women and black girls, this is not something new. It has roots deep within American history. Can you talk about that historical background that leads us today, as you make the case, to not take black women and black girls' reports of sexual assault seriously?
Sure. When we talk about when slavery started, And we're at our 400th year from 1619, and when the first 20 slaves came to this country, and black women were raped, and they were also bred to have more slaves. And so part of kind of the devaluing is to say, okay, this isn't really abuse, this isn't really rape because they like it, this is, you know, they're promiscuous, they have sexual anyway. And so this narrative has went from one generation to the other in one way or another. And so even in the article, I talk about how the Racy Taylor situation that happened in the Jim Crow times, when most black women would not report that they were raped, she did, and nothing was ever done about that. And so when you think about today and you think about the images of black women have often been negative, as well as very sexualized. It just continues that myth. And so if I believe that this person is not a victim, then I don't take their call seriously of rape or assault. And so it's something that we continue to do with our images, particularly in social media and in the media itself. And so that's a narrative that we have to also be educated about, that this is a history, this is historical. It's not something that just happened, and how to begin to portray black women and women of color in positive images and in positive ways.
Talking to Crystal Carter, clinical assistant professor and field liaison in social work at UW-Milwaukee, talking about sexual assault and sexual coercion of black women, and especially of black girls. Crystal, how do we do that? How do we change the narrative from that stereotype, the over-sexualized fast girl image that people often apply to black girls, to that more positive image you were just talking about?
Well, I think education is one way, educating ourselves about the history of black women and black girls, as well as using positive language when we're talking about, you know, I mentioned in the article about the fast girl, and that's usually around puberty time, and understanding child development and explaining that to children, empowering children to know when something's not appropriate or someone is being inappropriate with them. But I do think that particularly in our time of social media, I think how we portray women of color, showing positive images, even mentoring girls is one way to help with those images. But I do think education is a big part of that, and understanding the history.
Do there need to be changes, institutional changes, in things like law enforcement, the legal system, the social work system, to take reports of sexual assault more seriously?
Yes, and I think that's just in general. You know, victim shaming is a big part of the defense, and understanding that when women and girls don't report right away, that there's reasons to that, and the criminal justice system is a big part of why we don't, you know, hear a lot of girls and women saying, you know, something happened to me, because it usually oftentimes doesn't, if they even get time at all, it's not a lot. And particularly if this is a person that's, you know, famous, or this is a person who is popular in that community, and as well as having people of color in making those decisions, black women making those decisions about whether they be jurors or whether they be a part of the policy that can change some of these situations.
And you write about, in addition to those institutional changes, you reach out toward communities. What do you want to see communities of people of color do when it comes to watching for these incidents, reporting it, and changing the culture?
Reporting. Reporting is a major piece to this. It's not up to us to decide what's right or what's wrong. We often need to just report this to the authorities and let them investigate. Also, knowing how to talk to black girls about their bodies and giving them a safe place so that they can tell someone. And working with agencies, I've had several agencies since this article was published that has reached out to me because they want to help parents talk to their children about personal body space and boundaries and what's appropriate, and also letting children, know that they, it's safe, and that discouraging keeping secrets. And I think that sometimes parents need, help with that, and agencies and counselors can do that.
It's a good place to leave it. Crystal, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Crystal Carter, clinical assistant professor and field liaison in social work at UW-Milwaukee. She's with us today to talk about how to protect black girls from sexual coercion.